Welcome to episode 19 of the Cowcast, Shop Talk. All right, welcome back. I am Eric.
I am James.
And we have special guest.
I'm Chris.
For those of you that didn't listen to an episode, I think it was three episodes ago, we had Chris on with us. He's the former owner of Cowabunga Comics, a fount of knowledge and good friend.
Oh, yeah.
So he's here tonight to talk about what I think is going to be a very fascinating topic, something that I'm not as well versed in, so I will be playing along and asking questions as we go.
Okay. We get a lot of people asking questions about diamond-related questions. We hear a lot of diamond-related complaints. People that say diamond's a monopoly, diamond can do this, they can do that, they run around unchecked, which to some extent is sort of true, but diamond also kind of gets a bad rap. It's not like they bullied their way in and they're the only comic distributor. I mean, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So I thought we should, before there's any other big diamond complaints or discussions, maybe talk about why they control the market. We don't need to do a full-on history lesson for that, but we can kind of sum it up a little bit and go back to the distributor wars of the early 90s. And Chris, you were, since you're so ancient right now.
Oh, yes.
You, of course, were living through that as well. You were actively buying a lot of books then, right?
Yeah, at that point. Probably, yeah. But I also, my local comic book store growing up was Capital City Comics in Madison. Mm-hmm. So, I know there were ties there to, like, Capital City Distribution and things like that.
Well, Capital City Distribution was based in Madison?
Right.
So, there were...
They weren't the same company, I understand, but...
Yeah, right. There were three major comic... There were a lot of distributors, but there were the three major ones. You had Capital City...
Heroes.
You had Heroes. Well, Capital City and Diamond at the time were the biggest ones.
Right.
Capital City was, they started in 80 and they ended up lasting until about 96. And we'll get to why they stopped existing in 96.
Curse you, Marvel.
Diamond started in 82. And of course, they are still around. And then Heroes World had been around since 75. And by the time we get into the 90s, Heroes World was amongst 9 or 10 other smaller distributors that controlled about 10 to 20% of the market share. And then Capital City had a lot of the market share in the Midwest. And Diamond had about 45% of the market share in the rest of the country. So they were pretty much even, but Diamond was edging them out just a little bit as far as control of the market went. The big thing that ended up happening that created the situation that we're in right now is in 94, Marvel decided to buy Heroes World.
So they could do in-house distribution.
Right, to do sole distribution. So you could get your comics, if you were a comic book store, you could get your comics from these other distribution companies for the most part. They weren't really in exclusivity battles yet. There were some that were de facto exclusives to certain distributors, but what happened was Marvel gets Heroes World, they decided to do sole distribution, and that caused sort of a feeding frenzy for the other distributors.
Well, it also took away, my understanding was that Marvel was not shipping comics to the other distributors, right? So Capital
right,
City
right.
and Diamond were no longer going to have access to the Marvel
revenue. Correct. But what the existing companies tried to do was lock in any non-Marvel publisher.
Right.
So not too long after that, DC signed an exclusive with Diamond. And then they eventually got Dark Horse and Image as well not too long after that, which left Capital City kind of the odd man out, and they ended up getting small publishers like Kitchen Sink and Viz.
Aardvark.
Who?
Aardvark.
They had Aardvark?
I think so.
Okay. They distributed TSR, which is also right out of Wisconsin here. But they eventually they couldn't keep up. Marvel kind of, they bought a company that didn't have the infrastructure set up to deliver the volume and the accuracy that they needed to deliver to comic book stores. So Heroes World ended up pretty much folding. And then Diamond bought Capital City. And in 97, after Heroes World totally folded, Diamond got the distribution rights back to Marvel titles. So there were a lot of other things in there. Like you said, Heroes World was notorious for missing full orders that retailers would put in. You had to pay, if you're buying things from multiple distributors, now you're paying shipping on each order that you have to get in. So if you have to get your TSR stuff from Heroes or from Capital City, you have to get your DC and Dark Horse and Image from Diamond, and then your Marvel from Heroes World, you've got to pay three times the shipping costs that you normally would. Your volume discounts are going to go down because it's not spread across.
Right.
Instead of having, I mean, that's the one good thing with one of the few good things with Diamond is that all of these things that we order are combined to give us our overall sales discount, our volume discount with Diamond. But if you were a store in 1994, 95, and all of a sudden now you have to split your orders over three different companies, it creates three times the amount of work. Your volume discount will go down, so your books are going to cost you more, and you're paying three times as much shipping. So that was a big contributor to the market failings in the early mid-90s. Do you have any insight into it or thoughts?
No, that pretty much covered it.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Backdrop. I also think Capital City distribution before, a couple years before they ended up selling, started to impose restrictions or demands on their publishers. So they would charge their publishers a fee, like if they had X book so-and-so slated to come out in January and it didn't come out till February or March. And I know that upset a bunch of publishers.
Hmm.
Again, do I know for sure? But I'm pretty sure that stuff like that was accurate. So they tried to take more control, maybe in response to Hero's lack of control.
That's not a bad thing. I mean, it's a good idea if true.
Right. So, but I think that's pretty thorough background.
So do you think that, kind of on a side note, we had the reason that we find so many great comics and collections floating around Wisconsin is because, does Heroes World have anything to do with that? We also had, Franklin had, what company did Franklin do the publishing for too? Or not in Franklin, was it Franklin or was it Kenosha? What was the big comic company?
Oh, yeah. Kenosha?
Was that Whitman?
Gold Key?
I think it might have been Gold Key.
Well, and plus there was also huge printers in Wisconsin that would print tons of comic books also. So that might be why there's a ton around. When everything went belly up and comic book stores started to go under the first time, right? There's all these people buying whole collections at, you know, pennies on the book kind of thing. And there were people out there just going from auction to auction and store closing to store closing. Just buying willy-nilly. Again, do I know that that's why there's so much stuff here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Eric, any input?
So I don't know much because I got in, you know, really on New 52.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Diamond has always existed. I've heard dribs and drabs and pieces over time. And I know that, at least I think I know, that Diamond overtook, was it Star or something like that? Star Distributors, or there was a different form of previews that was Star Publications or something like that?
Could be. I mean, because like I said, they started buying up everyone else. Because not only were you buying a distribution network, but you're buying all their back issues stock kind of stuff too.
Sure.
So if you had like some distributor that had thousands of copies of, you know, Kitchen Sink Spirit that everyone wanted or thought they could resell, they would go out and buy the stock up too, I'm pretty sure.
So with Capital City, I mean, obviously they weren't able to lock anybody big in, but you got Kitchen Sink, they got Viz, TSR. They got a Japanese company called Tohan.
Yeah.
At that point, they were just completely out of the game, right?
I think they didn't. Yeah, I would guess so. I think they didn't really see what was coming in the same way. And maybe they didn't have the resources either that Diamond had to... Because Diamond made a bid for the DC stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically... Did they pay DC or just give them better terms or whatever? And they were able to do... Maybe they had just deeper pockets at the right time.
Yeah, so. Could be. So either way, that led to the situation that we have now, and that's why nobody... I don't think anybody wants to take the risk of jumping in to try to be another comic distributor. I mean, what would really be the... If somebody came up with an idea and an infrastructure to do it well, that's all well and good, but what can you...
But Diamond, like 6 years ago, revamped. They consolidated in one or two warehouses, right? And the mm-hmm. state-of-the-art facility, wherever they are now. So they made an effort to streamline 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, and they've actually... We just got news a month and a half, 2 months ago, that they put in multiple $1 million worth of upgrades to their current facility. And I think their three locations are Plattsburg, New York, or Pennsylvania, one of the two. They are in Olive Branch, and then I think they've got a big distribution hub in or just outside of Memphis.
Yeah.
So they've got three right now, and I believe it was Olive Branch and Memphis that got the upgrades.
Right. So it's, you know... I think for a while they were very stuck in the 70s and did stuff maybe on paper.
That had to be another thing where if you're ordering... for us, we can go through Comic Suite and we have computer programs. I can't imagine having to order from three different companies and keep track of all of that with paper and pencil.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're ordering from Heroes World and half your order doesn't show up.
And then how do you get it and how do you stay on top of it?
Right. What do you do then? I mean, I can't imagine that necessarily being a lot of fun either.
Correct.
So what do you see as the benefit? Because you've only, as far as ordering, you've only ever ordered comics through a distributor as a retailer when it was just Diamond.
Right. You can make the comparison to... But we order gaming product from various, from Alliance, from Southern ACD, Hobby, ACD. From AC.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that wasn't horrible. But the volume of stuff you buy is a lot less than the gaming thing.
Sure.
But again, you still have terms with every different place. And you can. The nice thing about multiple distributors, though, is if one of them's out of a product or is selling it for $3 cheaper, you can go to the other place and get it a little bit cheaper, or find it if it's out of stock in one place or the other. But with Diamond, it's one place. If they're out of stock, they're out of stock.
Yeah, that's true. So, well, I guess the big argument always is competition always going to be a better... Would competition benefit us as a retailer more? If all of a sudden another distributor popped up tomorrow, you know, is that going to be a long-term...
So here's why Diamond is not considered a monopoly, and it did go through the courts, I'm positive, is that, yes, they are the sole distributor, but they don't actually set the price for the product.
Mm-hmm.
So Marvel and DC and whoever else say we want $2.99 for our comics, and that's the price that goes up onto your shelf kind of thing. And so they don't so Diamond doesn't dictate price. Which is why they got off the hook on the whole monopoly kind of thing. Where I think you suffer under that system is that if they screw up, they're like, whatever. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, no kidding.
There's not a lot of oversight.
Right, and there's not a lot of impetus to change.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think they do a decent job for what they do. Yes, we had problems with them all the time, obviously, with things not showing up. But again... The volume that they're doing per month is staggering when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, a tremendous amount. And that's, I think, the biggest thing to another company deciding to try to tackle it is that they've got the playbook of what happened in the 90s, and they know that the volume is not going to be what it was back then. and you got to figure that what the volume of books that were shipping in 94, 95 was compared to right now. I mean, it was tremendous, right? It was a lot. The books were selling, on average, you were selling what? Books in the, you know, 150, 200,000 for your average big titles?
Probably, yeah.
Your X-Men's and
I don't even Batman's know what they are now, though.
If you get more than five books in a month topping 100,000, it's been a great month. It's usually in the, it seems like it's usually in the 3 to 5 range. Anything over 5 is good. When Rebirth hit, I think there was 10 or 12 that were over 100 because of returnability, things like that.
Right.
So it's usually 5 or less is about standard now. This month, it could, for the month of February, it could end up being 2 that go over 100,000 in sales.
I thought you were saying 2,000 issues. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, okay.
So what would
there's a lot more stuff out now too, though, right? There's more action figures. Yeah. There's more
for sure
gaming stuff.
There's more books too. I mean, you got Marvel that's tripling up on some characters. You know, they're pushing out over, I think it was 104 books in January, 36 trades or hardcovers that came out. So that's 140 things on them alone, not counting variants. Right, so you're getting a lot there. But didn't we see, wasn't there an attempt or two in the early 2000s to try and carve away some of Diamond's warehousing and distribution share by a couple of smaller groups that failed ultimately because they couldn't lock in exclusive contracts with the big two at the time?
I don't recall that, but I think that, I mean, that's not exactly something I was paying attention to back then. If you really want to look at, we can talk about the direct market versus newsstand, because you know, newsstand is something that's a whole other bag of tricks. If we want to go back way before the distributor wars in the 90s, you had all the mob stuff with newsstand books being returned, and that's Google that. That's a lot of reading. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really? Okay, well, that we're going to have to do a podcast about that.
I'll have to read about it.
But with newsstand being almost non-existent now,
right?
Is that something where you could have an inroad to start offering an alternative? Like, if
I think part of the problem with the whole single distributor thing is that newsstand did start to go away because they signed exclusive deals with Diamond, right? So that they weren't allowed to distribute anymore, is it?
Yep.
So, but what that did is, so now you have to go to a store, good for us, to get your comic books, which in the early 90s wasn't always a nice thing for people, for normal citizens.
Well, single issues and trade distribution is still going to be different.
I know trades are totally different.
Right.
But I think part of the fallout to the whole consolidation thing in the 90s was that the newsstand stuff went away, and so regular Joes are just going through the supermarket or the drugstore. We're no longer picking up issues off either. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally does.
In that respect. So you're saying, is that a way to get back into stream of...
So there are two stories that I think kind of reflect a possibility of looking into that. Walmart started selling those DC 3-packs last year, where they would take three random issues of New 52 titles, I think, and they packaged them up and sold them for $4.99. Now, that's not going to be any kind of real competition to us as far as people seeking out a certain issue. It's more of a grab bag type of thing. You know, it's something you buy for a kid.
Right.
But it's still putting comic books in the hands of
potential readers.
Well, yeah, is what is essentially a newsstand customer.
Yeah.
But I think Diamond still is responsible for that. They have to be, right? For that distribution.
No, so not necessarily, right? Because a third party could have bought 100,000 New 52 books, packaged them in a slip plastic, and then resold them, like just like you resell back issues. So someone could have done that. They could have bought someone's huge stock and just resold them as back issues instead of.
Well, what about like the Barnes and Nobles, where theirs are a dollar more for single issues, you know, for a DC mm-hmm. book, and the for New 52 era, it was $4.99.
Yeah.
They're returnable. Who was distributing those?
So that goes through.
Because I don't think that was going through Diamond. Yeah.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I remember looking at getting comics through a book distributor at some point. I don't know why. I'm sure Diamond pissed me off and I was having a bad week or something. I'm like, there's got to be another way. But I think you're right. The returnability was fine, but the upfront price was much higher.
Mm-hmm. Well, would that turn, if you had shops that switched over to doing the book distributor method, do you think that that's going to, if somebody starts buying, let's say they get 20 books a month, and now it's going to cost them $20 more a month to get those books?
Right.
Do they drive across town to the shop that has the books that are a dollar less?
If it was close enough, yeah.
Now, actually, three other stories. Walmart signed, this is from maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, I read this, that Walmart signed a deal with Diamond to start distributing or to start selling trades at Walmart. So we don't know if that's going to be at a discounted rate. I mean, you know, Walmart, when you look at their books there, they're always, you know, 30 or 40% off. I wonder if that's something where, you know, what kind of volume discount is being offered to somebody like Walmart?
Or are they buying, just plucking them off the sale list that, like the trade, every once in a while you get those sale, yeah, clearance list.
I don't know. Do you think Walmart would be fine selling like volume 8 of Power Pack just because they got it for $2? I don't think anybody
they might
pick that up.
If they can return them too.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But yeah, I mean, a company like Walmart can get, let's say that Walmart decides that they want to get back into the newsstand comics game. Could you see kind of a reverse of what you see with newsstand right now, where because of the sheer amount that they're able to order, would they be able to command? You know, Walmart's MO is,
right,
you carry your product, now you're going to do this, you're going to make it cheaper, right? That's what they do. You sell towels or oscillating fans, it doesn't matter. They're going to say, we carry your product, this is how much you make through us, and we need you to offer this product at this price.
Right.
Is that something that could be damaging to the direct market?
They would have to set up something, because there's no way they could be on top of it like a local store, right? There's no way they could be on top of a subscription list like a local store and make sure that they got everyone who wanted a copy of Batman got it every month, kind of thing. It would be totally hit or miss when you went in. And again, it kind of goes back to the only way to compete with Diamond, because you're not going to compete on price, would be to compete on service to the retailers. So the same deal is with a small store. You're going to have a service edge over Walmart, who's just going to bring stuff in. People get it if they get it. Or the worker bees, the same ones that steal all the cool action figures before anyone else can buy them, will snap up all the good stuff. And I don't think Walmart would be a problem. But what they could do is drain the stock, right?
Oh, yeah.
100,000 issues get published and Walmart wants 75,000. That's going to allocate it for every small store in the country.
Yeah. I guess I would think that there may be a small hit with that. But if that was the case, you would think that the publishing companies would.
But why would the publishing company automatically now print $50,000, 50,000 more books?
Well, you got to remember, we're in the initial order and the final order phase. So we put in our orders theoretically before a lot of this is printed.
Yeah, but especially you're not going to have a guy from Walmart putting in final order cutoff stuff.
No, but that's why you can know what your local shops are requiring.
That's true. They would know in advance.
So they would have a number, and they could look historically and say, you know what, when Batman comes out, Walmart historically has taken 100,000 units. You know, like they'd be able to do that. Like I said, there's maybe a small hitch. But here's why I agree with you, Chris, why I don't think Walmart would necessarily be as big of a grab. We're already competing against Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
True.
Especially with Amazon Prime.
But you're talking about Walmart having the same price point as, because if they're getting their stuff through Diamond, they're going to be getting the $2.99 version instead of the higher price newsstand.
I was thinking trades.
Okay. I'm thinking traits, and this is where I go with it.
Well, but at the same time, what you just said is you go back to the antitrust suit, and if the publishers are able to set the price through a distributor, what would be stopping DC from saying, from telling Diamond, you sell to everyone else at their normal discount rate, but Walmart at a 70% discount rate?
I don't know that anything would stop.
I mean, they would obviously be in the highest discount tier based on volume. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess I look at it and I think if, on a trade side, if we're competing with like a Barnes & Noble and an Amazon, then Walmart is nothing more than just another one of those. Right, because with Amazon now, let's be honest, you can get your book for a percentage off, and in most larger cities, you can get it the same day for no cost shipping. So,
or if you live in Wisconsin and your distribution center is right down the road.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess I'm just looking at it and thinking all that you're going to do, and this is no slight on, you know, those of us who shop at Walmart. I frequent Walmart from time to time to get things I need, but you also look at the demographic of who's shopping where, and your demographic for who's shopping on Amazon is probably highly overlapping Barnes and Noble. But then your demographic who's shopping at a Walmart is going to be a little different. Just genetically, if you look at the products that are offered, you look at all of that, it's going to be a little different in the base and where they're located. So,
and is it going to be a product that their people want?
Exactly. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to get those impulse buys when they're, you know, mom's going in to get the Iron Man balloon and getting the Avengers party wear stuff from the party section. And she's going by and, oh, you know what? There's an Avengers trade for Jimmy for his birthday. I'll get that.
I also wonder, though, too, if because the margin for comics and trades is so low. You know, I guarantee you that Walmart would want more than just like a 50%, 100% return or whatever it was, a times two return.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would even consider something like a comic book or...
I don't think that the existing price point of a comic or even a trade would necessarily be something that would be a non-starter for Walmart or anybody else or a bigger company looking to get into comics or trades, because you go to Pick and Save, go to any grocery store, and look at the magazine rack that they have now, and you get your, you know, your 100 different variations of the special issue this week, you know,
Guns and Ammo swimsuit issue.
Yeah, that, or you have your Kardashian special issue or something. They're all $14.99, $12.99, and people shell out to get them.
That's true.
Your average trade, if they could get. Look at Image. Image has
those $9.99 first prints.
Absolutely. Stack the shelf with something like that. You can get a quality product, or you can get a trashy gossip rag. You're still going to get people buying the trashy gossip rag, but if you present an option like that, I think it would sell. I don't think the price point is prohibitive.
Especially if it's a big name thing like
Batman, Spider-Man.
I was thinking Walking Dead in particular right now.
Yeah, that too.
In fact, I know Walmart has had Walking Dead trades before.
Yeah, they've had them for a long time, yeah.
So... they must be going through a book distributor, though, at this point, right?
Well, I think Walking Dead...
Well, no, I mean, to get the trades to places like Barnes & Noble and...
Oh, yeah, they would have to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you can go into any little bookstore, like the bookstore down the street there, and they don't have a very big section, but they do have a section of trades and manga.
Yeah, they definitely get it through a book.
Right.
The distributor kind of thing.
Very nice people, too. If you're in town, Books & Company, it'll come along. Good people.
I second that.
I third that. So is the other question now, there was a Kickstarter last year. Do you remember the Archie Kickstarter that had a lot of very bad feedback? Because
right.
They were asking people to solicit, or they were asking people to kickstart this book, and then Archie would ship the books directly to the people that kickstarted it. And I think that they had a retailer tier at some point. But a lot of people were very upset that a lot of retailers were very upset that Archie was essentially trying to undercut the comic distributor and self-distribute those books to the buyer.
Right.
And the whiplash on that was just unbelievable. I think Archie pulled it down after a couple of days or something. Like, it didn't last more than 2 or 3 days.
How is that different than Marvel, where you can...
Or Image, where you can go on their site and you can order
or
a
Valiant
trade directly
from... You can get it straight from them.
And that's where I'm going with this. It was what everyone found out afterwards, or maybe at the same time, I'm murky in the details, is that the reason Archie didn't have the upfront capital to publish the book, why are they trying to land Adam Hughes to do interiors, you know, and I mean, he's a great artist, but if Archie can't pay for it, there's got to be a reason. Well, they had just inked some huge deal with, I believe it was Target, a huge newsstand deal where they were going to get just, you know, top of the line distribution at your registers. So it was going to be the ultimate, you know, impulse. The Archie Digest was going to be back at the checkout line.
Yay.
And that's why they didn't have the money, and that's why they had to kickstart it. So it was multiple instances of Archie deciding to kind of go around the direct market and take books out of the hands of comic sellers. I think that you can argue either way, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, and compare it to, you can compare it to a subscription service if you want, but I think by and large, the way that the industry responded to what Archie was doing proved that there is still a huge backlash against companies that want to return to a newsstand and versus direct market. Okay. And I wonder if that's going to be prohibitive to companies deciding to jump into it. But Marvel just signed some agreement with Archie where Archie is going to, through their, I hope I have the details on this right, but through their distribution deal for being in checkout lanes and whatnot, they're going to start distributing Marvel digests that are going to have 4 or 5 issues crammed into a digest, and they're going to be right next to the Archie ones. And Archie's going to be handling that through this distribution deal that they have.
That is correct. Marvel teams with Archie for newsstand digest distribution.
That's brilliant. Not only did they like sort of get shut down their first go round, mm-hmm. but then they come back and they say, let's go get some big allies.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's ever running Archie right now is, I think, pretty smart. But the question is,
it's going to be 6 digests per year. It'll start in 6 digests per year model will start in 2018 with 4 in 2017, starting in June with Marvel Comics Digest starring the Amazing Spider-Man. The next will feature the Avengers, and then there will be individual Avenger books like Iron Man, Thor, and Black Widow, also featuring other characters like Wolverine and the X-Men.
Hmm. Cool. So, again, not even from like a distribution thing. I just think having those books out there where the general public can get to them is going to be key if they can maintain it.
Well, in the long run, is it beneficial, more beneficial for us as a comic retailer to have comic books being prevalent at newsstands again? If somebody gets hooked on a digest, are they then going to be coming in here to buy the newest issue of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur that Walmart definitely won't, or Target won't carry? Are they going to get into back issues, which they're definitely not going to carry? Is it beneficial for us, or is it a symptom of a move to circumvent the direct market and oftentimes more?
I think the direct market, it's too good of a deal for publishers, right? Especially through one distributor. All they do is ship their books to Diamond. Diamond takes care of the rest. That's pretty easy. And someone cuts them a check at some point.
And we already face competition like that in a dozen ways. Like, there's little golden books of each of the Marvel characters. I actually just picked one up for Lorelei of Doctor Strange. You know, so there's already things like this out there. I think the important thing, in my eyes, and I could be off and you guys could disagree, but the important thing in my eyes is that this distribution stuff that they're doing on the newsstand doesn't 100% duplicate the product that we're selling.
Right. And it's not the same market either. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, again,
the grocery gear mom is very different than the comic book.
And if you get one or two customers a year that got hooked on a digest and said, oh, I want to see more Hulk or whatever.
Where are they going to go? They're not going to go back to Target for it. They're going to go to a comic shop.
Right. Because they won't see.
Because if they're going to get one digest every 2 to 3 months on the newsstand,
that's not going to hold them. No way.
Right.
And they'd only be able to get like one character one time a year kind of thing. There's
right.
So I think in that respect, it's probably good.
So by and large, the retailer arguments about companies moving towards newsstand, I think we're all in agreement that it's sort of unfounded. And
until they start 100% replicating our product.
Again.
Again.
Yeah.
then I don't know if there's necessarily as big of an issue. In fact, like we were saying, it might actually be more of a benefit, right? Because it's getting the medium open to more people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's no different, really, than us going to schools or libraries and doing talks with kids that wouldn't necessarily read comics. We're trying to bring them in, you know, find a new avenue.
Right.
Well, and then knowing the history of Diamond, or a very brief version of that history of Diamond, is that, Eric, do you feel any different about some of the issues that we have and some of the complaints that we've made, that you've made, that I've made? Oh, Diamond, I wish, you know, how can they be allowed to get away with this? They're a monopoly. That's the only reason they haven't changed and done this differently. Do you want there to be a company that's doing it differently, but now we have 3 or 4 years back to distribution wars? What would you prefer? Are you fine? I mean, I don't want to say fine with how things are right now, but would you prefer one or the other?
I think a little competition in the marketplace is never a bad thing. However, it is a Herculean task to break in, I think, to the distributorship with the way that Diamond has their contract structured. I know that there's a number of exclusive agreements signed that will be terming in the next 2 to 3 years, I think. And there was talk that someone might try and make a play at one of the big three to try and get distributorship. But ultimately, I always think that competition is a good thing in a marketplace. Just like when we buy our products outside of this market, you're always looking at competition. If you only had one type of shoe to buy, the price would be inflated. If you only had one type of car to buy, the price would be inflated, or the service would lack. I do think that at the heart of it, I don't think Diamond intends to provide a poor service. I think that because of the type of industry that they are, the types of employees that they may get from time to time maybe don't measure up to their standards of what they're hoping they get. Similar to any job that is going to be more of a repetitive factory manufacturing type job, where there's a component of mindlessness that can come in, because we see things like that where those of us that are receiving the product look at it and go, why would you put, you know, that single 1 in 50 or one single store variant in a box with 2 Funko Pops and an omnibus? That's ridiculous, right? We think of that.
Well, my favorite,
but they don't necessarily.
My favorite one was when we got a large wet red towel in a box of trades that we ordered. I still have a picture of it, but it was a large red wet towel that smelled like oil.
Yep.
It somehow dropped in a box. And so, that's, you know what, but that was the only large red oil soap cloth we've ever got. So I, you know what, that's okay.
And it, but you know, at the same time,
bonus, is that what that was?
Yeah.
At the same time,
it burns pretty well.
You look at that and you say, that shouldn't happen. Ever, regardless of what market you're in, unless you're in the market of distributing wet oil-soaked towels, that should never happen, right? And so does it take a little bit of market disruption and a competitor to firm up a few things? I don't know.
I think those usually sell to angry mobs with bottles.
Maybe.
Yeah, you should be pissed that they didn't send the bottle in the box, too.
I know.
Supply your own bottle.
To build a figure.
I think competition would be good. I think even just one more distributor. I mean, because again, maybe you get shorted on something that you've got to have, and you can call the other guy, and they say, "Sure, we'll get that to you tomorrow."
So, if you want to jump into trying to become some sort of Diamond, you're not going to jump in and try to emulate everything 100%. You might try to do a regional competition, right? Like Capital City did.
I don't know if you can do that, because you've got exclusive contracts with Diamond. I think your best play, in my opinion, is you got to go after one of those big three.
You do. I agree. And I think you don't even have to go after all of that one of those
just
big three.
Just get one.
Even if you just... Well, you don't even have to go after all of one. You can just say to Marvel or DC, give me 15%, 20% of your shares. Let's see what we can do with it. Maybe offer the publisher a cheaper or the more back for each book kind of thing. And then maybe they would give you a shot. But again, Diamond's your customers. But they're really there. As long as the publishers are happy with Diamond, they've got no reason to change. I mean, I guess Diamond screws up and is sending out books not getting to where they need to on time kind of thing. And brand damaging your brand name or whatever, maybe you start double thinking it.
And that might be a question for the publishers, are you happy?
Which they are clearly thrilled with with this system. You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, I think any answer that we got from anybody who would be in a position to let us know their true feelings, it would have to be completely off the record.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
we unless, say, you know, unless it was blowing reviews, and then we'd be more than happy to go on the record, and I'm sure they would too.
So you I'll think- just put it this way. There have been times where we have not had product. Diamond has not had it in stock.
Is this on something new that came out?
Within a very short time span of being new, we have reached out to a couple of different publishers who have expressed at times a little bit of remorse for the fact that there was a problem and have directly sent us
stuff,
their comp copies to make up for that issue. So,
well, I'll give you a good example of something that they did that just recently that put us in a little bit of a bind. I'm not going to... won't see the exact book, but they had a book that to qualify for it, you had to, this is a Marvel book, you had to order a certain percentage
right.
of an issue that had come out like 3 or 4 months ago. Well, the problem was we hadn't ordered any copies of that issue. So you would think that that means it's going to be open to order for us, right? If we ordered zero copies, what's 90% of zero copies?
Right.
But what we were told today, we found out, is that because we did not order any copies of it, that we are not eligible to order that variant cover. So had we known that 3-4 months ago, we would have ordered a copy of it.
Right.
You know, but how can you... That's an instance where I would have loved to have called up competition and said, hey, I would like to order this book. This is what happened. What do you guys have? You know, what can you offer me? But again, that's something that... Marvel set up the way that worked. They're the ones that set up the decimal point that figured out
right.
how many copies we were eligible for. But someone there should have used some common sense and said, instead of limiting, these people want to spend money, instead of limiting the amount that they can buy, it's punitive punishment.
Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah. So that's the kind of little ridiculous things where we go like, you know, how in the hell is this allowed to fly? But that's why, because there's really no... There's no reason for them.
There's no check or balance.
Correct.
There's no way for you to play competition against itself, mm-hmm. right? So, like, if you're out, if you've got home repair work, you're going to bring in 2 or 3 contractors to get bids. Can't
sure.
do that.
Sure. And we couldn't tell the person that we talked with, okay, that's fine. If you guys aren't going to do that,
yeah,
we're going to call up Heroes World.
But you could say, okay, that's fine. Don't do this for us. We'll call Marvel on our own.
And they're going to say, oh, thank God.
Well, they might. Or they might be like, oh, dear. What if Marvel gets mad at us?
I guess.
I mean, again, having no industry insiders at this point, they must be sort of happy with how things are going.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, it would be really nice to get inside info from top men.
You should call...
Or women.
You should
or
find women. All your old reps that left Diamond because they got tired of the pressure of the rat race and
well,
interview them.
I think our most recent one didn't leave on her own terms.
No.
So even better, she's probably pissed off, so I'd call her. And she'll give you the lowdown.
Maybe. You never know. Yeah. You never know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing for us to try to deal with where... Short term, it would probably be a nightmare if somebody else tried to jump into it. I do wonder if they try. If somebody decided to really attack it, though, yeah, regionally probably would be a bad idea. But what if you had a company that said, we want to handle your trade distribution?
Or again,
we don't want to cut into this, but we want to handle your trade distribution. Not only that, we'll handle both your trade distribution to bookstores and to comic stores and, you know, newsstand.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a way that a company could cut in?
You know, a way that it might work is if you actually contacted every retail shop in the country and said, hey, would you be up to a second distributor? We might be willing to do it. Just sign this thing. And then you can take, you know, 3,000 signatures to Marvel and say, look, there's enough people that are looking for a secondary outlet here.
Sell to us.
So we would like to be that secondary outlet. I mean, that might be an end around, too.
We have less stores than Heroes World. That could work. Yeah.
Well, you want to start small anyway, right? That was the idea. You need a...
Sure, sure. I mean, we don't want to do it. Just in general, though, there's got to be some way for somebody to do it. But I think, again, long-term, it would be beneficial, but short-term, it would be twice as much work.
My other feeling...
Twice as many problems.
You know, one thing is they couldn't develop a worse computer system for us to use. A less buggy system. That's one thing that I will say. Mm-hmm. Coming from a technology world, Diamond's computer system is inordinately buggy and antiquated.
Do you think RMS is antiquated?
It's not RMS that's the problem. It's Comic Suite.
Right. I think they built that on top of...
Because RMS is a Microsoft product. Right. That's been around for years. That's right. Mature. But it's the Diamond edition of Comic Suite that is incredibly buggy and glitchy and...
Well, and...
Cripes, it took us 4 calls to the Diamond tech support just to get our stupid receipt printer to print right.
Well, not only that...
And we're not idiots either. We're tech-savvy people.
We had another issue where if we would click yes to print the receipt, that it would shoot the drawer open and we couldn't shut it.
Yeah,
it was just like our cash register was having a stroke. It was just shooting it back out. We couldn't close it.
All right, well, that could have been the crappy antiquated hardware you bought from the church you bought the store from.
No, we had... Don't worry, jerk. We got new hardware.
So it's true, but again, I think they kind of rolled that out with the least amount of...
It was a bare minimum.
...investment that they could go into, and that included their tech staff.
Yep.
And their code writing staff.
But I will say... Our tech support guy?
Everyone that we've worked with.
Holy cow. Best employees at Diamond, hands down.
But and they don't give you a hard time about, do you have the service contract? Or they just fix it because that's what they should do.
Yep, right. Yep. And they don't make you feel like an idiot because they know that their system has its own kinks that they have to figure out. So yeah, I will give Diamond that. Their tech support, best part about the company.
You know we're going to show up in some kind of Diamond testimonial now.
Probably, and that's okay.
Just about, then it's only going to be for the tech support.
Yeah. Best tech support in town.
The other thing to consider is the owners of Diamond are not getting any younger.
Well, it's been Geppy since the company started.
Since the get-go, right. And he's obviously had his financial issues up and down. But once he's gone, is it going to have that strength at the helm to keep going, or is it just going to go rudderless like some places do?
Well, what about there's always rumors. Everything's got, you know, this company's buying that company, et cetera, et cetera. But you always hear that Disney is looking at just buying Diamond or something, like, you know, whatever.
Or who's the other one? Amazon bought Comixology, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
So Amazon could buy it and run it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be worse.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Hey, we ought to get free shipping then.
Yeah. I have a Prime account.
If you have Prime.
We've got 2 Prime accounts here.
Now that would totally make it worthwhile.
Oh, that'd be something. We could have Prime. Our books delivered with a drone. That would be...
You could go pick them up.
It'd have to be a hefty drone for those 400 count boxes.
Just use a cargo helicopter.
There you go.
I mean, if something like that happened, would we almost be back to like a... Amazon would be one thing, but if Disney bought...
They do that having competing properties with Marvel being theirs? So they would own the price point setting and the distribution, so that would be your monopoly.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
So you think that just would never go through?
Nope.
If it did, the only thing that I can think of is if it did, they would then gain back the rights to distribute Marvel, but everything else would be fair game. All exclusive contracts would probably have to be null and void. And another distributor would be able to step in.
But, I mean, does Disney even want to run that? Is it... Again, do they want to go into distribution?
I would say they want to run everything. But
then okay.
But, yeah, is that a part of their business that's even...
But you got to worry how focused they are. They are...
Well, so we're just talking anyways. Books. How does that play into their figures, their action figures, and all that?
Oh, Diamond Select?
Right, yeah. Because there's more on top of that, so... There's layers there where I guess...
Yeah, I don't see Disney being able to buy it and distribute everything.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like it. Or at least, if they do, they'd have to shed all the other competition. They'd only be able to distribute their own stuff.
They could buy DC, too.
From Warner Brothers?
Sure, why not? They could buy Warner Brothers.
Well, you know, after Justice League tanks, you never know. That's another subject.
At that, yeah.
It's a 2-drink minimum subject.
Oh my god. any last minute thoughts, observations, ideas?
No, there's that big open space down there at the old grocery store. You could start your distribution center in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably some racking in there too.
Very true, very true.
And yeah, you know, that is interesting, and it is something that I find interesting is just how Diamond is set up in the fact that they have 3 distribution centers. 2 that are, I think, within an hour drive of one another, Olive Branch and the Memphis one.
And why isn't there one on the West Coast? That's what I always
Yeah, remember. Because we saw a couple years ago that there were books, I think it wasn't Convergence, maybe right before Convergence, that books were delayed because the LA port strike,
right.
The union strike.
Right,
yeah.
So why are the books all going from LA? Well, not all. Why are a large subset of books, I think it was Valiant, because
if China is printing those books.
Yeah, China prints them. Why would
you transport them over a mountain range across the entire United States? Because you know there's comic book stores in San Francisco.
Yeah,
they're going all the way over and then shipping all the way back. Yep. And now you've got this one lone, I think it's Plattsburgh up there, and I think it's upstate New York, right on the other side of the border of Canada. Now, I think that's because there's some Canada printing.
Yeah, Quebecor prints a lot of their stuff, I think.
So now you've got books coming across the border, going there, something happening, sorting down, then sorting out again. It seems like there's a lot of extra touches.
Moving around.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if it wasn't, I'm sure it's affordable the way it's done because that's the way they continue to do it.
It just seems weird.
I've always wondered about that.
Isn't that kind of weird?
You what?
So I have a logistics degree.
You'd think that they would want to put something in like St. Louis, just right in the center of the
world. I can't figure it out. You know, it's a school for that. I can't figure it out. I'm sure
they've got their reasons. No question about it.
Ship everything by train.
Toot toot.
That'd be the way to do it.
We got a train track block up the street, so we're good.
They would have to throw them out the window as they went by, though.
But again, we have a really good UPS driver, so.
Oh, yeah, our UPS driver's great. I think eventually, Diamond's either going to get bigger and they're going to become more of a conglomerate when some other company buys them, or we're going to go back to having a repeat to the buildup of the distributor wars. You know, I mean, if Image is bigger... Image was big in the 90s. Dark Horse was big in the... Like, those were the two big gets after
Marvel and
DC. I think... Had Marvel bought Malibu by the time they bought Heroes World?
Was Malibu the one that had the different printing? The advanced color printing?
Right.
I'm going to say...
I can't see them dropping money on them after... So after Malibu, then you really, not that Malibu is a huge get company wise. They just wanted the coloring infrastructure they had set up. But
right.
You know, you had Image and Dark Horse. Image is bigger now than it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Much bigger. They didn't have any kind of Walking Dead or independent clout then.
Right.
They were the
upstarts. Yeah, 7.
I wonder if Image, now having started their own subscription, they offer, you know, home delivery subscription books, so could they be the next ones to try to do something? You know, Kirkman, McFarlane, they seem like guys that would try to break the mold and do something different.
So does Jim Lee, though.
Well, yeah, but Jim Lee is a DC Warner exec now, you know, he's not gonna
take risks,
jump ship, and do anything like that. I could see something like, you know, McFarlane and Kirkman are going to solely distribute Walking Dead and Spawn. You know, which one's got the clout there? But through this new Image company or something like that. Imagine if you took the hottest trade publisher on the market, said we're going to go,
or you could do Walking Dead and Saga.
Sure,
no, Saga absolutely. Is one of the top books every time it comes out.
If Walking Dead and Saga went through, you talked earlier about the game distributors. Settlers of Catan it still is only through one distributor. I think it's still Alliance,
right? Yeah. See, I hated it when they started going just one distributor, where they send exclusive deals. That drove me nuts.
Could you not? But I mean, with Walking Dead and Saga, if you could only get your trades by going through Image's company like that, what store isn't going to do it?
Well, you'd have
right?
to.
Right.
But yeah. you'd also want like a price cut or something at that point to make mm-hmm. it worth your extra effort. Even if it was like a small one, I would think.
Like an extra percent or something.
Yeah, or lower margins, right? So if you order 100 books from Image, you get X right. amount discount.
Sure.
Well, and that's where that stuff all happens. I mean, it's like a death by a thousand cuts where you go, we have to order Walking Dead and Saga through here. And then a year later, it's like, oh, here's the rest of our trade line. It's right. moving over to there. And then here's the rest of all of our books. And now it's Image distribution or whatever. Mm-hmm. So again, I just see that as how it could happen. Probably won't, but...
You'd have to do it... They'd have to do it more cheaply than whatever they're paying Diamond to do it at. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's possible. I'm not a logistics guy. We should talk to them.
Yeah.
They might know.
Yeah. Where can we find... Who knows? I don't know.
You got one with a logistics degree and one with a geospatial degree, so you're stuck in the middle.
We still get lost. We can't even find where we park half the time.
It's because there's no parking ground.
That's true.
Just kidding. There's parking.
So, that said, Diamond hasn't just sat on their laurels, though. I think for a while they had. They were mm-hmm. King Dog. But they realized at some point, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that they needed to upgrade and modernize because they were... The service they were providing wasn't adequate anymore. So it's not like they've totally just, screw you all, we'll just do it our way kind of mm-hmm. thing. They have tried to modernize, which they have.
So,
and they do try to sometimes accommodate you when they screw up. I mean, they're not the worst company in the world.
No, they're not.
I would argue, though, that they have invested the money that they have in order to better their profit margins.
I would totally agree with that.
But
you can't complain about that either.
No, you can't, but I also am not going to give them a free pass.
I wouldn't either.
So, I mean, I guess I look at the end of the day, there's a level of quality of individual that you employ. And when we get oil-soaked wet towels and a card that says this package was lovingly packed by potato, you know, stuff like
potato
that.
Potato was a good one.
We've had potato number 22.
We had cigarette butt.
We had cigarette butt. We've had chewed gum.
Really?
I mean,
I have never seen a cigarette butt.
We had chewed gum. We had a sucker stick. I mean, stuff like that. That is a systemic problem. I mean, a problem employee happens in every business, period. But to have that repeatedly in different forms and manifesting itself means that there is a systemic problem somewhere.
Right, but those are the basic level.
We never had that problem.
Though. Really?
We never had weird crap show up. We never had cigarette butts. We never had gum.
You should come every Tuesday afternoon. Join the party.
We had fun for a while.
When stuff was...
Unpacking on Tuesdays.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, the oil-soaked towel.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's usually the direct ships that give us the most
fun. But again, that's an issue where how do you get... Those guys that are pulling and packing the items... You're not getting people with their MBA that are going to get that position.
And that's understandable. But at the same time, again, what product are we seeing at the end of the day? That's what we're getting are the sucker sticks, the gum, the wet towels. So that's the face of the company.
Well, how ultimately. Bad? Okay, so when you had the store for a decade.
Oh my God, yeah.
Now, what was
you
your
were just
turn,
a spring chicken?
What was
you
your
still
turnaround
are.
On rep on having a rep? Right now, we don't have a rep.
So our yeah, rep, we had periods where we didn't have a rep. I will bet you we had 3, maybe 4.
Okay.
So when ownership switched, you still had Sarah, right?
No, we never. I don't think I ever got Sarah. Sarah was in the 2 years, the grace period, whatever.
Because we had Sarah first.
Right. So we had a really bad guy before that.
Hmm.
And yeah, I remember Sarah.
We had Sarah, and she was so good she got promoted.
Our first guy was our best guy ever. I mean, he would bend over backwards for us. He would get stuff for us. If he had gotten that 1% no comic thing, he would have gotten you your comics. And he would have totally done all that. And then our next guy was just like total rigid rule guy. And it's just like, dude, I'm used to being spoiled.
Yeah, and I'm a small store in a small town.
Right, and he didn't care. Oh, can't do that.
Like, well, you see with some of our other distributors, we've had ACD, our rep has been the same guy since coming in. It's Paul.
Paul.
Cool. Awesome. And Paul's great.
Hi, Paul.
Paul's great. He's
have you met him? Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. We've had drinks with Paul. Great. He's a great guy. He gives us great service. He's, I mean, I think that they're the one company. We've had, I think we had one time where we got billed for an item and it didn't arrive. And they took care of it within like 10 minutes of us calling.
Yeah.
They, like, credited it back to,
yeah,
to the next bill.
I mean, again, compared to the other gaming distributor you might be using, ACD is so much better.
Well, but so where I was going to go with that is that Games Workshop's the other one where we're on our seventh rep since we became an official account with them. And we've got a great rep now. Our first rep with the company was the best. But what I noticed was we lost a lot of our Games Workshop reps because they were promoted. They were very good, and then they were moved into a better position. You know, right. They were, whatever it was, they were doing inside sales. Now they're doing outside and who knows what. With Diamond, we had, now Sarah got promoted, but I don't, other than her, the reps that we had have, we've all gotten an email. So-and-so has left the company. Please direct any emails or phone calls to this number or this email.
Right. Yeah. Or at least give you another person to contact.
Right. In the interim. It seems like with a lot of these other companies, we're getting new reps because the reps are doing a great job.
Internal promotion. Right.
Correct. And with Diamond, we're not necessarily seeing that at all.
I felt there was a lot of burnout.
Yeah. I mean, when you get an email that says, tomorrow is my last day with the company.
Well, and then she wasn't there, so.
Right, and poof, gone.
Yeah.
So.
We had one rep that kept misspelling her own name. Whether or not she was writing it up too fast.
Who's your. We'll talk. Name no, names. No, we'll talk after.
So, but, I guess. But, you know, the interesting thing is this interim period where we have not had a rep. We've dealt with the people that we've dealt with have been really great. I mean, they've gotten us answers. They've been very friendly. Before I told Eric about an issue that we had just this morning, I called up and what normally would have been, we'll get back to you. And we hear it 2 days later when we call back. This guy found out within 5 minutes, let me know the answer to my question. And it was a screw up on their end, but he let me know about it right away. He said, this is what happened. Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. You're covered. So all these people that we've been talking about or that we've been dealing with this last 3 weeks have been great. But I think, you know, can we land one of them? Are these guys that are just
are the guys that are promoted that are covering.
And if Brian is listening to this, I said, tell your bosses, we just want you as a rep. I said, I don't want to deal with somebody else. I said, we've worked with you now and I want to just deal with you. He said, well, I'll talk to my boss. I said, I can't make any promises. But like these people are great. I don't know if these.
I mean, we know our listenership is huge. I'm sure that at Diamond headquarters, they've probably got this on the loudspeakers throughout everything. Listener.
But I wonder if these are the guys that haven't dealt with their 97th call that week about how, you know, this is, we ordered this 1-in-25 variant. It didn't show up. Our customer's pissed. You just cost us $40. You better direct ship it. You know, I'll run it up the chain. We'll get it to you in 2 weeks. At some point, I mean,
you get burnt out on that kind of BS.
I can understand that. I can understand that. And that's the problem is how do you handle that? You know, do you have to hire more reps? Do you have to have more personal relationships with your accounts? Or is it just by the numbers? We've run the numbers and an average of this many accounts per representative is what we see to be the optimal
or do they aggregate for sales territory and say
It could be that you never know.
I guess I will
but we up at our from getting the store, I mean we've pretty much I would say quadrupled our weekly orders and we didn't change reps based on that sales volume, so I don't know about that,
but a store went out of business so we could have it depends on, you know, $2,000 versus $25,000
right, if we opened variance. Four more stores I'm sure we'd get a more focused rep.
Right. But I will say, as far as Diamond goes, you know, I did point out a few flaws and concerns that I have, but, you know, by and large, they do a very good job of getting us the product that we need. There are times where you're frustrated because, like I said, they'll pack that 1-in-50 variant with an omnibus and a pop figure and
the pop figure and your variant are smashed to hell. But you know what? Fine. We live and we move on. Tomorrow's another day. You know, it's not worth getting steamed up over that kind of stuff. You call, the rep usually handles it in some fashion. But is there room for improvement? Yes. Do I feel like a second outfit at least could come in and a little bit of competition be good in the marketplace? Yes, very much.
Cool. Last words?
That was it. Yeah, I think
there you go.
Summed it up.
Thanks for joining us, Chris.
No problem.
It's been fun.
It has. All right. So everybody else listening, we will talk to you with another episode soon.
And one more thing.
Oh, we have one more thing.
We said before we started this that, you know, none of us really were doing this when the whole distribution war thing happened.
Yeah.
Same thing with the newsstand stuff. I mean, if there's something we said that's like totally out there and wrong, let us know because we wanna know.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, this is a discussion that could expand farther and encompass some of our other podcasting friends who have a more extensive history with purchasing comics and monitoring the industry as a whole. So this could be a part one of many more to come.
Mm. Now we're done.
Yeah. Okay, thanks everybody for listening. We will talk to you in another episode soon.
On behalf of all of us, thank you for listening to this episode of the Cowcast. You can find us on all the main social media outlets, including Facebook at facebook.com/IncrediCow, on Twitter at IncrediCow, or on Instagram at Cowabunga Comics. To send an email to us directly, send it to podcast@cowabungacomics.com, or to join in the discussion, you can hop on our new Cowabunga Comics forum at forums.cowabungacomics.com.